Being sound mentally is something that is a gift from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And if we look at today's world, we come to realize that to a greater or lesser extent, more or less, all of us have our mental challenges. And when we look and delve into the cause, we will come to realize that it is actually the lifestyle that we live oftentimes that is to blame. So, if we take a look at our priorities and what we are after and what we think is most important in our lives, we have prioritized that which can never fulfill our souls, which is the dunya. So we are chasing the dollar, the pound, the gold and the silver day in, day out. And to make matters worse, we open up our screens and we spend hours on end watching lifestyles of others or a depiction of their lifestyle that we think is the ideal. That is not the reality. They have painted the best portions, put up the best pictures and the best videos of their lives and put them up there for us to see. What we see is not the reality. 100% of the time what we see is not the reality. What do I mean by this? We don't see the entire picture of their lives. So even though they may have been through that moment in their lives where it was joyous and it was good and it was happy moments, they had other moments, and perhaps those were even more at times where they were sad. But we didn't get to see that. They didn't post a video of themselves crying and breaking down. They didn't post a picture of themselves down in the dumps ready to slit their wrists. They didn't do that. So what happens? We tend to think that their lives are ideal. Their lives are amazing. But when we delve deeper, and sometimes it comes to light, and we actually hear of a person taking his own life, yet his life seemed ideal on the front, in the front, and on the front of it. So what we need to realize when we pick up our phones is what we see is not reality. And I think the overexposure to the lives of others has become detrimental to our health. It has become detrimental to our mental and physical, spiritual well-being. Because we are constantly watching the lives, the so-called painted pictures of that which we assume is reality. And the way to get away from this is to turn off that phone. Switch it off for some time. Take a break from watching the life of another person. And introspect. Sit on your bed and ask yourself where your life is at, what you can improve, where you should be grateful for what you have. You know, oftentimes we speak about how we should beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we should ask of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, and that is a form of worship. That is one of the most important forms of worship. But take a moment not only to beg and not only to ask for more and more, but to sit and say, God, what have you given me? You've given me my life. You've given me my faith. You've given me my mother and father. You've given me a spouse. You've given me a mode of transport. You've given me so much that I don't thank you for on a daily basis. Lord, I thank you. Oh Allah, I thank you for everything that you've done for me. I thank you for the fact that I am able to sit here and thank you. Do you realize that the ability to connect with God is a bounty in and of itself? So the fact that your tongue is now uttering statements of gratitude is a bounty of God upon you. Because there is somebody else who has much more than you have, and he cannot even say Alhamdulillah. He's depressed because he's chasing more. and he is after more. So the question is, what is the solution if we know that the dunya will never fulfill us? No matter how much we have of it, then what is the solution? Is it to chase more of it? Obviously not. لَوْ أَنَّ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّن ذَهَبٍ لَأَحَبَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيًا. If the son of Adam has one valley full of gold, he would love for himself to have two. And one hadith says that if he had two, لَبْتَغَى إِلَيْهِ ثَالِثًا, then he would seek the third. وَلَنْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. And nothing will quench the thirst, nothing will fill his mouth except for dust. What does that mean? You know when the craving ends? When your life ends. That is when the craving is over. There is no more craving. There is no more want of the dunya. Why? Because you have now moved on to that which can fulfill you. So, what do I mean by it can fulfill you? Had you spent your life pursuing that which will come after the cessation of your want for more in this dunya, had you pursued that, then you would have been at peace with Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, finally. And do you know what's amazing? The pursuit of the everlasting is fulfilling of your soul. The pursuit of that which is fulfilling after you die is fulfilling in this dunya as well. So when you find yourself on the path where you are actually pursuing the pleasure of your maker, the one whom you are going to meet, that in and of itself is fulfilling. That in and of itself will make you happy. That in and of itself will actually open up your mind, and it will give you clarity of thought, and it will give you the ability to move in the right direction. What has happened today is the one who is walking upside down on his face, looking at the world from that perspective, is considered to be more upright than the one who has chosen the straight path. What do I mean by this? Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Is the one who walks upside down on his head, is he more rightly guided than the one who walks straight on the right path? Today the oppressor is more correct in the eyes and the view of the world. People look at him as the winner. Why? Because he has more of this dunya. So the man who has more of the dunya is a winner despite what he did to attain that dunya. So a person who has stores all over the country, or a person who has more wealth, is seen to be the winner despite the fact that he cheated so many people along the way in order to gain that wealth. What have we done? The one who is walking upside down on his head, he is more upright in our eyes than the one who is walking straight. And we see it in our priorities. We see it in our priorities. Let a poor man with rags walk into the door, and how many people will rush to greet him, to say, "Assalamu alaikum, my brother," and smile in his face. And let a rich man in his garments walk in, and how many people will rush to greet that brother? What is that? What is that? It shows where our priorities lie. It shows that we believe in this world more than we believe in the Akhirah. If he is my believing brother, in Islam, there is no difference between the raggedy, taggedy brother that walks in with clothes that are torn, and the brother who walks in all of his glory and his wealth and his might. Why? Because they are both believers in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And this is what we see today. You know, even our salam, Our salam is made to those who are important, those whom we know. And the one whom we don't know, we don't greet. If someone whom we don't know greets us, what do we say? Why is he greeting me? Do I know him? Do you know what is the sunnah? He's your brother in Islam. She's your sister in Islam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Because you are my brother, because you are my believing brother in Islam, I will greet you. It is not based on how much you have and what you have. So our belief in this world and the pursuit of that which will never fulfill us is what is leading to this depression, this anxiety, the increase in taking of drugs. Why? Because the man is depressed. I don't have enough. So people judge me and place a value on me based on how much I have. So since I can't get enough, I need to forget it. Let me snort some cocaine. Let me take some heroin. It will make me forget, at least for a few moments, that people have lost value in me. But your value is not that. And the amazing thing about Islam is that it will liberate you of this feeling that people have no value for me. It will liberate you of this feeling. If you walk into a room and you feel valueless, then check your faith. Check your faith. And ask yourself that, am I a believer in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal? Have I got faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then I have value. Then I have something to offer. You see, a man known by the name of Zahir ibn Haram. Zahir was a man who people had no value for. People never gave a second glance to. This man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, finds him in the marketplace. And he goes to him and he hugs him from behind. And he says, Abdun lil bay', Abdun lil bay'. There is a servant for sale here. There is a servant for sale here, or a slave for sale here. So Zahir is obviously worried. What's happening? So he turns around to look at the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to see who it is. And he sees none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says to the messenger, Idhan tajiduni kasidan ya Rasulullah. Then you will find me to be most valueless. No value. I'm just a normal person. I don't have much. People don't even look at me a second glance. So what do I have to offer? Do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? وَلَكِنَّكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَسْتَ بِكَاسِدْ. But with Allah, you are not valueless. أَنْتَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ غَالِي. You with Allah have a very great value. So he didn't place a priority on the man's social standing, but rather he's telling him, you are a believer, you have value with Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. This was the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how he uplifted the people around him. And this is the attitude that he had, the lens with which he viewed the world. He himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if someone saw him, would not see a rich man. People would not see a rich man. I oftentimes think that with the faith that we have, if we existed at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the faith that we have in this dunya, if we existed at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would we be believers? Allahu Akbar. It's a deep question. We have to ask ourselves this, because when we look at the priorities that we have, we prioritize wealth. We love wealth. And we prioritize the rich and the pompous. And we're not saying all rich people are pompous. We're not saying wealth is a bad thing. It's about your lens that you are viewing the world with. Do you judge a man by the dollar signs on his forehead? That's a question that we really need to ask ourselves. And the overexposure to the lives of others is actually destroying our lives. It's destroying our lives. And to end off, inshallah, I will touch on one or two more points. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when discussing the believers and when discussing success, by and large, we see He doesn't talk about the individual. I'm not saying He doesn't at all. But by and large, what do we find?
قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ
The believers are successful, those who have consciousness in their salah. What did he talk about? He spoke about the believers altogether. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us what? الْمُؤْمِنُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ كَالْبُنْيَانِ يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا The believers are like a building, like a structure. Parts of that building strengthen the other parts. What does that mean? That means our success is together as believers. Our success is not individual. We don't view our success as individual success. When Abu Bakr won in business and he did well and he succeeded, he didn't view that as his success alone. And what is a display of that? As soon as he needed to give, and before he even needed to give, he pulled out and he gave. He helped society. He helped those around him. Why? Because not only did he want to win himself in this world, but he viewed the winning of his brother as a win for himself as well. He viewed the winning of his brother as a win for himself as well. If he wins, I win. Why? Because together we united. Together we can face the enemy. Together we will enter into Jannah. Together we will please Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. When society begins to view each other, and I'm not saying help everybody, you may not be able to help everybody, but help those closest to you. You find a man as rich as they come, and his neighbor, who is his own brother, is as poor as they come. He doesn't even have slippers to wear. And the man is as rich as they come. In fact, he will take those slippers if he can. Allahu Akbar. What happened? What happened to that belief of Abu Bakr? Where are you, O believer? What happened to the faith of Umar? Do you not follow that? Do you not follow them? Are those not your heroes? What happened to all of that? Together we will move. And we will move ahead, and we will succeed, and we will help each other enter into Jannah. So let us uplift one another, especially when it comes to those closest to us. Because if I help my relatives, and you help your relatives, and the next man helps his relatives, together we have been empowered. Together we have been empowered economically. Alhamdulillah, that's a start. It's a display of the iman in our hearts. It's a display of the belief in our hearts. You know, I come out onto my road sometimes. And wallahi, I look at the state of the road. And I think,